Hey everyone, welcome to A Little Bit of Woo Woo. I'm your host, Jill Thomas, and our guest today is Glenn Alex. Glenn Alex's life is about health. She's an author, a podcast host, and a clinical social worker. And today we're going to be talking about health. She has an amazing book that really balances the different aspects of health and wellness, and I love it. And I'm so excited to talk to her. Welcome, Glenn. Tell us about how you're doing. Tell us about your book, actually. We'll start with that. Tell us about your book.
Well, thank you, first of all, for inviting me on your show. I'm very excited to be here. Living in total health is what it says. It's about living in total health. It's about true health, which involves the whole person. We tend to only focus on diet and exercise, shape and weight to determine health. And that is so far from what the reality is. So when we balance the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of who we are, then we are totally healthy.
I love that because I read your book, and first of all, it's a quick read because it kind of pulls you in and you can relate to it. And I liked that it, even though I could see where the book could help you lose weight, then it really wasn't just about your weight. It was about the spiritual, social, the all of the other aspects of health that I think that people sort of leave out of the conversation because we're so focused on dropping a few lbs. So yes. Tell me kind of how that book came about, what inspired it, because I feel like there was some tragedy first. That's usually how the story starts, right? Tell us about that.
Well, actually, my journey towards health began in childhood. Grew up in a very social household, had people over, family, friends, and I was so intrigued by the interchange between people, the nuance, the dynamics of interacting with each other. And I could see when someone was being hurtful, when someone was being helpful and supportive. And that was my first clue about boundaries. And from there, I started to experience boundaries more directly myself, to learn more about them. And now I teach them. So I think boundaries are a huge component to total health, though that's where I started. But then I started to expand into other areas of health. I saw people who were unhappy. I saw people who were fit and had no friends. I saw people who had money and just were overly depressed or anxious. And so it dawned on me that there has to be more to health than just how we look and the superficial stuff. And so I just kind of opened my mind. And as I walked through life, I started picking up this stuff and doing some research on my own.
I love that. And nosing through your book, one of the things that kind of struck me was that a chunk of it really is about boundaries. And I don't think I'd seen that before, even though as somebody who, as a hypnotherapist, I coach people on weight loss and things. And that boundary that, fat often ends up being a physical boundary. But I love the way you talk in the book, how important it is to have spiritual, emotional boundaries with people, with your environment, and with the whole system at play. So tell us a little bit more about why that is so important to health.
Well, boundaries define who you are. They define where you begin and end on those different levels. And if there's no clarity about your boundaries, then you are vulnerable to harmful forces. You're vulnerable to the narcissists or abusive people, to the thefts, and to people who just want to take advantage of you for their own gains. And so healthy boundaries enable you, empower you to affirm where you begin and end, and allows you to grow within those bounds and to actually reach beyond your boundaries in a healthy and safe manner so you can grow.
I love that, especially, it's not like we don't know how many narcissists are in the world. It's just crazy, like how important focusing on narcissism, and how often, particularly people like you and I who work in the healing arts, we tend mm-hmm. to end up, a lot of us, I'm sure some of you listening know what, we can talk, what we're talking about here. We tend to draw in more than our share of narcissists. Tell us, you know, as a social worker, because I know that's what you do, can you give us a couple of obvious ways to spot a narcissist? Because the good ones aren't obvious, by the way, guys. She's going to give you some pointers.
Oh, the good ones are good.
Yeah, I know.
at reading people and saying and being what the other person wants to see. I would say intuition is your primary cue. I have a client who was on a date, a second or third date with a man that she liked, and he started talking about he didn't get the answer he wanted from his boss, so ended up at his boss's home.
Oh, God.
And so, yes. So she's developing her boundaries and red flag. Oh. And so she stopped seeing him. So our intuition is key in receiving and understanding our innate wisdom and the information that is available to us. Unfortunately, too many of us ascribe our power to someone else, some external force that we think is smarter, richer, prettier than we are.
Well, isn't that how we're trained, though? I mean, my gosh, you know, don't watch what your parents are doing. Listen to what they tell you, right? And right. Then a kid gets really confused by this. Like, you guys are hitting each other, or you're hitting us, and you're telling us that it's not okay to hit your brother, but it's okay for you to hit me. Like, right. I, you know, totally. I get what you're saying. What else can people look for? I love that you said the intuition, because you can't gauge the external, you know, with a narcissist. It's because they've got that part figured out. Like, they understand how to mask it well. What other things can you look for?
Well, my number one rule of thumb for any relationship is if the words don't match the behavior, believe the behavior. So narcissists and psychopaths and just, I don't know, self-absorbed people are really good at speak. They're really good at saying what you want to hear to put you at ease. Yet their behavior is something different. So if they don't match, then I always believe the behavior.
I love the expression they always use too. This is the one of the ones that always is like my biggest clue. Like, that's not what happened. I'm sorry. I saw you texting some woman who's Bambi. Who is that? That's not what happened.
Right.
You're crazy. That's another phrase they love.
Yes. Absolutely. They like to discount your experience and tell you what you did or didn't see, and define your reality. So that's another indication that you're dealing with someone who does not have your best interest at heart.
I love that. Well, kind of, we drifted off into narcissism because that's one of my favorite topics. but tell me kind of at a high level, what are your feelings about the health and wellness industry in general? I'm going to suspect you're not as much of a fan as maybe Merck and Pfizer are.
Well, I think it's getting better. I think there's still way too much emphasis on the superficial. I think there needs to be more. We need to do a better job of addressing the whole person, because a person's lifestyle, finances, stress levels, schedule, family situation, geography, they all factor into total health. And so when you tell the general population to take this pill or take this surgery, then you're discounting that individual, the individual's needs. And so they're not going to be healthy or heal.
Well, individual needs don't sell product.
I get that.
Come on, Glenn, you trying to keep it from making money?
Well, yes.
I would love that.
Because there are other avenues to make money. When we take into account, now, you know, what is it? 8 billion people on the planet. You don't have 8 billion different types of whatever. You will have categories and groupings. So you can make money in this direction if medication is appropriate. You can make money in this direction if therapy is appropriate. You can make money in a different direction if lifestyle education is appropriate. So I'm not interested in anybody monopolizing healthcare. I'm interested in people being healthier. So if that means you make less money, then okay.
I love it. Tell us about a health book that you, do you have one you like? You have, I mean, I love your book. Your book is great. You. Tell us about your book.
You want to know more about my book?
Tell, just share for a second about your book. And maybe if there's another book that you also recommend, I always like to give people tools.
Okay.
What do you think?
Living in Total Health is, it covers all aspects of health, the physical, the mental, in the physical, it does address nutrition, massage therapy, sleep. Sleep is huge in any health program. Without sleep, we are mentally fuzzy. We have poor energy. We make bad decisions. So sleep covers a whole gamut. It's not just a physical aspect. Relationships, those genuine, authentic connections matter. And just wasting time and spending time with people you don't really care about or connect with to avoid being lonely is depressing. And depression and anxiety are the number two and number one, respectively, mental health disorders in this country. A lot of it is based on our choices and who we surround ourselves with and the choices we make and the results of that. So stress management, boundaries, thinking patterns. People shoot themselves all the time and think that's the way to motivate them to do something that they really don't want to do, are not equipped to do, or are not aligned to do. And so we try to force ourselves into these ridiculously rigid patterns and ways of being and end up unhealthy. So Living in Total Health covers all of that.
Any other books that you recommend as well?
Well, a book I read recently is Oxalate Overload.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I'm familiar with that book. That's actually really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not everybody has that problem, that challenge, but if you do read the book, it's good.
Well, and if you don't have that specific challenge, yes, I was interested in it because I do have GI disorders and issues. And what it brought up for me was having the boundary to not accept what other people say is your reality. It's not going to apply to everybody. Just like certain diet plans aren't going to apply to everybody. But if you are forcing yourself to eat in a way that people say is healthy and your body is not responding that way to it, then that's worth a second look and maybe something you should do some research on. So I liked it from that perspective, is to for people to individualize their nutrition.
I love that because we hear a lot of very, you know, emphatic people talk about nutrition in terms of one way or the other way. And rather than saying, well, some people respond this way, you know, respond well to this mm-hmm. kind of eating program, others respond better with a different type of eating program. I get what you're saying, because some people have it in their head that if they can't load up on fresh fruits and vegetables for whatever reason, perhaps an oxalate issue, then they won't be able to be healthy. And that's simply not true. Talk to us about that a little bit, or should say, I don't think it's true.
About people should eat a certain way?
Yeah. The narrative is often that, as a hypnotherapist, I see a lot of arguing between the keto diet, paleo diet, and the whole foods, plant-based diet, that little group kind of fighting amongst themselves instead of just acknowledging that some people do better on one than the other. What is your opinion on that?
Well, that goes back to what we talked about earlier, is people are trying to make as much money as they can by lumping everybody into the same category. And that's just unrealistic. It's unfair and it's unhealthy. I think it's not appropriate to try to force everyone to do the same thing the same way. That's just, it's not going to work. And I have, when I first learned about my food allergies, I would go out to eat with friends and they say, oh, that won't hurt you. And I'm like, yeah, it will. If you just have this one bite, it won't hurt. Yes, it will. Or, you know, like eggs are touted as a really healthy food because of the protein, et cetera. And I agree that it does have some really healthy benefits to it, though it would kill me.
I know I'm allergic to eggs too. So I trust me, I do understand the killing thing, or it would make me want to die. Let's put it that way. If I ate like a souffle, oh, I'd be so sick. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a special kind of misery.
It is a different kind of misery. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But no, I think it's really terrible. I don't like that people are trying to be forced into a certain way of being.
You bring up a really good point, because I think that's something that's not talked about a whole lot, is this idea that we really are individuals and that we need to spend a moment or two or 100 kind of figuring out what we are rather than looking to this external. Of course, you know, we go to our doctors and we get this external feedback, and that's not always right, as
right.
Sadly, you've probably figured out too. Talk about how do you as a person kind of bury yourself against it? Because I know I'm thinking of the person who's going to the doctor and they're being told they just need to eat. I'm just going to give the example from kind of your life. You need to eat a lot of fresh, green, leafy vegetables, and that they know that that gives them intestinal issues. How do you as a person sort of stand firm within yourself, particularly if, let's say, you're 20 and you don't have as much life experience? Talk about that. What kind of tools people could use?
Well, I would first rely on your immediate response and experience with that food. The doctor says, eat more green, leafy vegetables. And you say, well, I get nauseated when I eat them, or I get constipated, or whatever that is. It's about speaking up for yourself. It's self-advocacy and having the courage to say no, or not now, or that doesn't work for me. What are my options? Is there anything else? So part of it requires some comfort level to understand that your experience does matter. The other part of it is going against this trend to force people to conform, which doesn't work for everybody. So I would encourage people to advocate for themselves and to do their own research.
Yeah. So please do your own research. Google is amazing. like within a few, I mean, and it's not the answers, as I've experienced, the answers are not always on page one, because a lot of the search engine optimization for the sponsored post. Yeah. It's already paid for. So once you get past like page 5 and 6, sometimes that's when you get the truth. some of the Reddit posts. Yeah, I know. I mean, I know, trust me, I know that Reddit post is not doctor information, but sometimes anecdotal is very, very helpful.
Well, and there are credible websites that will offer alternatives and, different ideas and options for all of us. And you're right, you can Google anything these days. And there are no diet plans or exercise regimens in my book, Living in Total Health.
I noticed that, yeah.
Because you can Google how. The issue isn't how for me. The issue is why. So I think of Living in Total Health as a why to rather than a how to, because people know how to lose weight generally.
Eat less. There's your doctor advice.
or just move more.
How about both?
Or watch your portions. Or the how to's are out there. It's more about why to. And those are the intangibles about health that people don't talk about. The resilience. The grieving, the make conscious choice decision making. So those things factor into health as well.
Well, talk more about the why. How do you determine the why, or how does somebody come up with the why, or is that, talk a little bit about that.
Well, my question to a client would be, well, where do you want to end up? How do you want your life to look? And if you achieve that, and I watched you on a video with no sound, how would I know you've made it there? So you start with the end. The end is, I want to lower my blood pressure. The end is, I want to socialize more. I want to be more active. That's the why. Then you back it up to the how. And whenever the how gets tough, then remembering the why, that's your motivation.
I love this. And it reminds me of a story I'm just going to tell you from my own life. But I was at a resort in California called Glen Ivy Hot Springs. I don't know if you've heard of it. Anyway, it's a place.
It's not related to me.
It's not related to you. Fair enough. But there's a point to my story. The point to my story is there was a very, very large woman there. She was probably 300 pounds. Very beautiful yellow bikini. And some really obnoxious person said, you know, how can you feel comfortable wearing that in public? And it was just, I love her answer. It was like, I have no problem with my weight. Apparently you do. And I was so impressed because it was like, how many times I've tried to talk to clients about, you know, living their best and happiest life and feeling comfortable with themselves no matter what size they are. And here's this person just doing it.
Yes.
Have you had experience with that? Can you talk about that? How do you get that confidence? I mean, that's a big deal.
It's just self-acceptance. It's rejecting and not believing the stories that have been said about you, the externally imposed value that was placed on you. A lot of my clients look for their self-worth in other people. And that leaves them subjective to whims of other people, their emotional states, what they want, what they don't want at any given time. So understanding that your self-worth is innate and not about how you look, not about what you do, not about what other people say about you is the way to self-confidence and self-esteem for me.
I love it. That takes practice though. And some therapy.
It actually does. Yeah, it does. It does. It does.
I recommend that.
Yes. And the hypnotherapy to help, you know, release some of those negative messages.
Well, and a lot of times though, you know, I love psychotherapy. I mean, thank you for that. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm a hypnotherapist. But I recommend people to go, oftentimes refer people to psychotherapists because there's a portion that I don't really do. And that talking it out and reframing and sort of understanding, you know, when what happened in your childhood was abuse and when it was just some negative socialization is a great part of using psychotherapy to help kind of reframe that. So I always recommend those services as well.
Thank you.
What would you recommend? I'm just picturing the 20-year-old who's read Cosmopolitan magazine and has it in her head that in order to get a good husband, because that's how women are trained even now, she needs to be a size 3. What would you say to her? Stop reading Cosmo. That's probably the best place to start. I didn't even think of that. It's so obvious. It's a silly question. There you go.
Please stay out of my head. You will get lost.
I read it when I was 20. All kinds of damage.
my question would be, I would respond to her with a question, and that would be, why do you want a husband? Mm. And why do you need to change to get one?
Love it. It's a great question.
And then her response would lead us in the other
and
paths.
It would probably be, I don't know.
Because I'm supposed to. Because I should. Yeah.
I want to have a family.
Yeah. She'll shoot on herself.
I know. It's an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it, unfortunately, you know, things just haven't changed as much as we'd like them to. It's better, I hope, I think, but I don't know.
I think there are more options, though the pressure is still there to be a certain way.
I know. Yeah. The pressure, tell me your opinion on this. I almost feel like the pressure is a little bit worse because of the social media. Like, not to sound old, but like when I was a kid, the internet wasn't really a thing. I mean, it was there. The only thing they were doing was looking at porn. I mean, I really didn't do anything for me. But like you certainly couldn't bully people. You couldn't bully your classmates after hours. Let's put it that way. You know, you actually had to pick up a phone and make that obnoxious phone call, you know?
Right. I think it's worse because of that. I think the access to people, we need to unplug more for sure. Just the negativity and the mob mentality that takes over social media sometimes has made it worse. I think also that the individuals buying into what they see on social media, the false and pretentiousness. I have a client who she's like, well, nobody, I'm the only one who has a bad time with relationships. And I'm like, really? She's looking at social media and everybody's having, you know, happily married and have all this thing. And I'm like, really?
So somebody's been hosed. some lying going on there in her social media accounts. It's interesting. Interesting. I would love to see the next generation of girls putting more emphasis on getting a better education and also entrepreneurship. But that's my personal thing, because that is about creating something for yourself. But I don't get to speak to every girl out there. That would be my thing. What would you say are the most important things to create? If you could just give a few tips or tools to create total wellness within yourself, what would you say are the kind of the most important things?
Number one would be to listen to your intuition. And for me, the intuition is not judgmental. It's not punitive. And I have clients who say they can't differentiate between their anxious thinking and their intuition. I'm like, oh, intuition is not chaotic. It's not negative. It's not uncomfortable. So intuition, first and foremost, that's your innate knowing. And it's knowing without knowing why. Number one, that's number one. Number two, if your thoughts do not empower, inspire, or motivate you, then they're distorted and unhealthy thinking patterns. And that's a cue that something needs to be reframed. Mindset needs to be reprogrammed. And that will give you a different outlook on life and give you different, let you see the different options and possibilities available to you. Number three would be self-care. Too many of us, especially women, wait for somebody to come along and motivate us or give us the reason to look good, to feel good, to be happy. That comes first. For any healthy relationship, that comes first. And you will attract someone who will support that. So self-care, whether that looks like good nutrition, good sleep, good social circle, quiet time, and diving into the things that you enjoy, whether it's reading or hiking or just whatever will put a smile on your face or put that gleam in your eye. We definitely need to do more of that. And then who you surround yourself with.
That's a big one. I think people forget about that. Oh, but I love my friends.
That's not a real friend. She tells you how stupid you are.
Yeah, there you go. And the sad thing is that people have to go to someone like you to hear that's not healthy.
Yeah. Please don't get me started, or maybe get me started on how frustrating it is for me that we don't teach boundaries in school.
Oh, it's crazy.
And that we don't teach resilience skills in school. We don't teach kids how to grieve. We don't teach kids how to separate our parents' stuff from who we are, our value. Because parents are people that are going through their own things. They can make poor choices and actually be harmful to a child. Kids carry that and believe that's who they are and that's all they deserve. And we need to do better when people are younger and teach them these life skills.
Do you think the fact that we don't, because I've pondered that in school, I've wondered why we don't teach those things. And I kind of theorized that if we did, the parents wouldn't like that because it makes the person, gives them their own tools and makes the person too independent. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Why don't we teach that? Like, it makes no sense.
Well, I think individually parents might be offended that, because they should be the go-to teacher or person for their kids. I think in the long run, though, they would see that it would make their lives easier. It would absolutely make their lives easier. I have a client whose young kids, they're old enough to do chores. They're assigned chores. They're posted. kids don't do them. She's yelling at them every day to get them done. And there are no boundaries placed on them. No consequences. No rewards. And so as we worked on that and she started implementing boundaries with her kids, yeah, they resisted at first. But about a month later, she was like, oh, it's so much easier now after school. So in the long run, people will see that teaching those things will be useful. I just think we don't care enough about them. Again, we tend to be, our society and humanity as a whole tends to be more materialistic and superficial.
Yeah, imagining, I'm just picturing these kids who aren't doing their chores, and I'm like thinking about their first job. First job, they go, I'm just going to say it's McDonald's because a lot of these kids, that's their first job. You need to clean out the fry maker, and they don't do it. They just don't do it. And you just like, there was never any consequences at home.
Right, exactly.
That's their first experience with consequences. You don't work here anymore.
Right, and then they'll go home and blame their boss. He just doesn't like me or something.
Yeah, it was unrealistic. I don't know what they expected me to do. What? For what? I feel like my grandfather saying that. Like, these kids just don't have any sense of responsibility, but like, yeah,
it's kind of true.
It's kind of true, but I was like, I don't want to be one like my grandfather. That, you know, we walked up five miles uphill both ways to and from school, and it was so hard. And I feel like I was hearing that all the time, but I think about the stuff that I did. That did seem like it was harder. Like, there was definitely more walking to school. I don't know, than these kids. His parents drive them over, and I don't know. Do the kids really have it soft?
In some ways.
You know what I worry about, and tell me what your thoughts are on this, because this is my little soapbox, is the cell phone thing. When I was a kid, that wasn't a thing. Again, I'm 150 years old, but like the access to a parent all the time to be able to ask them how to handle a situation. You know what I mean?
I do.
I wonder about if these kids are not learning, how do I deal with situations that are stressful skills? What do you think?
I agree. They're not learning that. And I deal with the adults who have not learned that as well. And that's, again,
really?
Goes back to my, oh, yeah.
How does that manifest as an adult?
Well, a client, and I don't want it to sound like all of my clients are females in bad spots, though this particular client, she needs constant reassurance and direction.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good way. That's a good example. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's wearing her significant other out.
I get that. I mean, I could just picture this kid, you know, 12 years old, mom, I'm nervous. Mom, I'm scared. The bus is late. What do? You know, and then here, when we were teenagers, we were on airplanes by ourselves, you know,
yes.
With no cell phones.
Yes. I remember walking 4 blocks to get to the bus stop so I could go to school.
Yeah.
By myself. And
yeah. You didn't have a brother. You didn't have a sibling. I had a sibling. I at least had a sibling.
Well, I'm the youngest of 10. So they were already older and moving on. So
10. Oh my God. That sounds like, I can't even imagine. I can't even put my head around that. I mean, I only had the one and he drove me crazy, but he still drives me crazy. But 10, how did you manage 10 personalities? You must be really diplomatic.
Oh, me? No. I was pretty shy and introverted. So I would sit back and watch and listen.
Perfect counselor. Hello. Occupation. I should have guessed that occupation from knowing that you were the last of 10.
I'd never put that together until now.
The observer who understands the dynamic between the siblings and then the parents.
Listener. Okay. Thank you
for
that.
Foreign counselor. I bet all your friends told you all their problems and you got to learn how to manage that at a very young age.
Sometimes too much.
Yeah. Okay. I resemble that remark. Yes.
I do know that I'm a great secret keeper. So.
Well, you have to be, right? You can like actually get in big trouble if you don't hold on.
Well, with clients, but with other people, I'm a good secret keeper too.
You know, I kind of the same way. Like I forget. I mean, obviously I know I can tell client stories. Yeah, a little bit, as long as I don't say their names. But like, I do the same thing with friends too. I still kind of, I just assume everything being told to me is a secret. So
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice. That's kind of nice.
I hope they appreciate it.
Yeah, really. Come on. Cause some of that stuff can be really juicy sometimes. Any final things you want us to know? I'm absolutely going to have you talk about, you know, where they can find you. Actually, let's start with that. Where can people find your book?
My book is available on my website, glennalex.com. It's also available on Amazon through our official distributor, BookCH. GlennAlex.com. Order it from me. I'll sign it before it ships. BookCH, I don't have access to sign it first. So whatever's most convenient.
Love it. Can they just go to Amazon and buy it?
Yeah. Okay. They can go to Amazon.
But they can't sign it. Okay. Yeah.
So the thing with Amazon, though, is I have the official distributor who has my book, which is new, unused. There are other unauthorized sellers that are selling used copies.
I wish I didn't know what you were talking about. Yeah, I wish I didn't. As the author of three books myself, I wish I didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know what you're talking about. Yes. Yeah. So if you want, Glenn Alex to get paid, please go to her website. Buy it from her. It might be maybe a little bit, just a tiny bit more, but Glenn Alex got paid for her work. I know that's important to you.
Oh, it is. It is.
Yes. And actually, you guys get paid for what you do.
Right. And actually, the paperback is only available through me.
Okay.
The hardcover is available through Amazon, but I have the ebook and the paperback.
I love it. I buy mostly ebooks anyway because, you know, it's so easy to like make it bigger on the Kindle, you know?
Okay.
Do you have it's on the Kindle? Is it on the Kindle?
No, it's a PDF and EPUB version.
Okay.
For the ebook.
Even better. Yeah. That's great. Anything you want people to know that I forgot to ask?
I think you covered a lot. What I want people to know, I want people to take responsibility for their own health. I want people to do their research, to factor in their individuality and their lifestyle and what's happening in their world, and then mix that up and then come out with your own how-to. Of course, there are going to be guidelines that apply across the board, though the little tweaks that are required to fit you are absolutely necessary and will make the difference between your health and happiness and not.
That's beautiful. I love that. Let's just leave it at that because that's perfect. Tell people the name of your book because I feel like I didn't hear you say it.
Oh, Living in Total Health.
You probably did. I just am like, I just want to make sure they caught in case they didn't write that down.
And I appreciate it.
Fortunately, your name is very easy to spell. So glennalex.com. No special letters. It's spelled exactly the way it sounds. I will put a link in the description if for those of you that didn't write it down, but go there, visit there. And you also have services. I'm assuming you also work online with your clients,
yes, I
right?
do teletherapy.
Do you do Zoom as well?
I use HIPAA compliant platforms.
Oh, that's right. Cause Zoom's not, it's kind of a gray area, isn't it?
It's kind of a gray area and I don't take that chance.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Yeah. Fair enough. Great.
So they can contact me. Anyone interested can go to my website, request a complimentary consultation, and then we can talk about the most appropriate platform for that individual.
I love that because you have a very holistic approach, mind, body, spirit, and you're definitely not the whole just like let's just go on a diet approach to getting healthier, because as any woman over the age of 12 has figured out, that doesn't really work. Spoiler alert, guys. You might be fighting that fight for a long time.
Right.
Well, thanks so much, Glenn. Thanks so much for coming. And thanks for giving this inspirational information. It was so much fun. And thanks, guys, for watching. If you have any questions for Glenn, go to her website. If you're interested in her services, that's another great place. And start with her book. It's really good. So thanks, guys. Bye. See you next time.
Thank you, Jill.
Bye.